In the book of Hebrews,
chapter 4,
Hebrews chapter 4. As of Thursday, I had no idea that I was going to be preaching this message. In fact, on my desk right now are three different series, one on the book of Nahum, another on the book of Habakkuk, and another on the last days. And none of them are done, but I was in preparation, studying for future sermons. But God laid on my heart this message. I did a similar message many years ago. God laid on my heart to preach from this passage. Follow along as I read Hebrews 4, 12 through 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 to 16. The word of God is quick or alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That's our Father. Nothing escapes him about what's going on in your life. The writer continues saying, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted or tried, like as we are, yet without sin. And let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Father, thank you for giving us this wonderful passage, this truth that can lift us up out of despair, this truth that can encourage us in the times of great difficulty and adversity. May we know that you are there for us. In your promises, you'll never leave us nor forsake us. You will provide a way for us to make it. Father, bless these folks. Open their hearts and their mind. And may the Holy Spirit hide me behind the cross, that he truly and only would be our teacher. And we ask it together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, this past week, conservatism suffered a great loss when intellectual and conservative icon Charles Krauthammer died at 68 in Washington, D.C. He shaped America's politics for over generations. The Washington Post lost a great columnist where he worked for more than 30 years. One of his co-workers, Marty Barone of the Post, said, and I quote, "This will be a huge loss to vigorous and civil debate on public policies." Fox News also lost a longtime commentator, calling him, I quote, "the dean of conservative commentators." What a lot of people did not know about Charles Krauthammer is he lost the use of his limbs in a diving accident during college many years ago, and he spent the rest of his life in a wheelchair. That loss did not stop him from becoming the man that so many people admired. He won the Pulitzer Prize Award as a columnist. He truly exemplified the tenacity of perseverance amidst great personal loss. He showed family, friends, and even some of us that you can go on and be happy and successful even when suffering loss. Ladies and gentlemen, loss does not have to ruin your life. It can drive you into developing a deeper and better character. While it is common for us to think of loss and grief only in the connection with death, life itself is full of losses that must be acknowledged, assimilated, and even sometimes grieved through. You might be here today and you suffered the loss of the great dream that you had for your life. I know a little bit about that. My dream was to fly jets and to be 6 foot. In junior high, I had to give up that dream. But that didn't mean I couldn't go on living, amen? You might have experienced the loss of something you valued in life. But the truth is that no one can escape the reality of loss. It is part and parcel of the life that we live. But the wonderful thing is, if you are a child of God, you are born again. God has promised you, no matter how great the loss you suffer, He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's as close to you as the written word. But you must incorporate your faith. For the word of God, the writer of Hebrews said, is quick. It's alive. Do you know there's no other book like this in the world? Only the Bible is a book that can declare itself alive. And it is alive because it speaks to our hearts. It comforts us. It is amazing how you turn to the Word of God for comfort or counsel, and the words just jump off the page, and you can hear the still, small voice of God saying, I love you, and I know what you're going through. Amen. Loss comes in many varieties. It could be a relationship or marriage that has come to an end. It could be you're an empty nester now. Your children are all grown up. They're gone on to live their own lives. And you know deep down in your heart and soul it's a loss. It's not the kind of loss of losing a loved one. But it's still a loss that you have to assimilate. Losing control sometimes in life is a loss because of failing health. Losing control because maybe you're kind of that type of person that in every situation you want to be in control. And it doesn't always happen the way you'd like it to happen. That's a loss. Our lives are going to encounter many changes and transitions because life is full of times where we lose precious commodities. When the experience of loss happens, regardless of what variety that it is, God knows all about it. And we read from this passage that He is aware of everything. Hebrews 4:13. And by the way, we're going to come back to verse 12 in a later section of this message. But for now, verse 13 says, neither is there any creature, that includes all of you, And the word more precisely means there is no one of His creation that He is not aware of. The word that is used in the Greek for our English word manifest is the word aphanos in the Greek. Aphanos carries the idea that nothing escapes the eyes of God, our Father. And the fact it carries more precisely that He is aware of everything in everyone's life. Now you know that. Most of you here are students of the Word of God. And you know that there's not a hair that falls from your head that God is not aware of. Doesn't mean a whole lot if you just have that thought here and you don't have it here. The Bible, the Word of God, causes us to realize that nothing is hidden from our Father. Everything in our lives, according to the Word of God here, is naked and open before the eyes of the Lord. Please be aware of that. When we suffer a loss, we go through a grieving process, which can generally start off with denial. And then that denial can often lead to feelings of sadness and anger. But ultimately, to acceptance. And awareness is important to make sure you're not stuck in any of these stages, and that you can process each stage and move forward. If you're suffering a loss of any kind, I want you to know that the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, are there for you. And that the Word of God, going back to verse 12, it is alive. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. And that is a reference to the small sword that the Roman soldiers carried in their sheath. It had an edge on both sides, and it was very important in close combat. But he also says that the Word of God pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And sometimes because of loss, we hurt deep down in our soul. And the only thing that's going to bring comfort to the degree that you need is God Himself through the living Word. Now, I'm not undermining what people can do. We're going to talk about that. That's my fourth point. But it's important to know that when family and friends are not there to help, God is always there. He's as close to you as the written Word. And when you just throw the Bible aside and say, I'm not interested, you're turning away the greatest hope and help and comfort that one could possibly give. Because this is a living book, the love letter from God, and it's alive. I cannot tell you how often that God substantiates what He wants me as a preacher to preach to you through the Word. I could just be doing my daily devotion and come to a passage, and that passage confirms. By the way, this morning, and I didn't know this was going to happen, I was just reading the daily bread, which is just my appetizer to get me into my devotion. And do you know that the daily bread for today is exactly what this message is about to you. And so in that way, God confirmed, Pastor Tony, this is what I want the people to feed upon today. Now, if God will do that to a preacher, God will do that for you in your hour of need. It won't happen if you don't have faith in the fact that God's Word is there to minister to your soul, to your spirit, even as it says, to the dividing of asunder, that means to the very depths, even of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Listen, when we go through loss, let's be honest, there are things that we think that aren't right, amen? When we suffer loss, sometimes when people lose a loved one that's so near and dear to them, some of the thoughts going on is they don't want to live. Do you know that God knows that? And when you begin to think that and you're in the Word of God, God will tell you that's not what you are to do. I want to ask just a few questions before I get into the heart of this message. I want to ask you, are you struggling with loss today? I want to ask, are you struggling with the loss that maybe you never really grieved over? You're still in denial. You're never going to come out of it until you move to the next stage. Someone once said, first you hurt, then you hate, and then you heal. Some people get stuck in the first stage where they hurt. A lot of people get stuck in that second stage where they hate. You'll never get to healing if you don't let God get you through each stage. This is biblical, but it is also practical. I want to ask you this. Are there injuries in your past that you continue to struggle with every day? Those injuries that happened to you cost you great loss. You know, any loss can bring about grief and pain. But folks, the Lord Jesus is all too familiar with grief. And that's where I want you to focus. Seek Jesus' compassion. Because the Bible says He is our high priest who knows from experience what you're going through. This is what truly touches my heart. In fact, not one of us this side of heaven will truly understand the suffering of the Savior. We know He suffered, but we have no understanding because we were not ever in a relational community like the Trinity. And He suffered loss. I want you to take your Bible and go with me. Keep your finger in Hebrews, but I want you to go to the book of Isaiah. And by the way, this passage is a wonderful passage to introduce to your Jewish friends who don't know the Lord Jesus and don't understand that the Messiah is spoken about throughout the Old Testament. And one of the clearest passages is Isaiah 53, where it talks about the vicarious suffering and the sacrifice of Messiah. In verse 3, Isaiah writes, He, speaking of the Messiah, is despised and rejected of men. We know from the Bible teaching in the New Testament that Jesus had 12 disciples, but He lost one. And that one betrayed Him. And the people that He came to, the Bible says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. And so He understands rejection, which is another type of loss. And when you don't avail yourself to the Lord Jesus, you're losing out. Folks, you're losing out on the greatest counselor you'll ever have. Goes on to say that the Lord Jesus was a man of sorrows. You hear today, and your heart is one full of sorrow. No one understands that better than the Lord Jesus. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with, what's that next word? Grief. He was acquainted with grief. And I am telling you that if you don't get acquainted with Him who is acquainted with grief, you're not going to move to the next phase and on to healing and to the place where you can develop a deeper, better you. It's kind of interesting that when I started putting this message together, I didn't know that Charles Krauthammer had died. I always knew that he was injured and didn't really know the full extent of it because he wasn't the kind of guy that wore it on his sleeve. He was the kind of guy that continued to persevere and to succeed even though he had suffered great loss. And by the way, he didn't want to be judged differently because he was in a wheelchair. He wasn't the kind of guy who sunk down and developed a pity swamp. Surely the Bible says he, Jesus, verse 4, had borne our, what's that word again? Griefs. And carried our sorrows. And yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, that is, all of our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement or the punishment of our peace, it was upon him. And with his stripes we are, what's that next word? Healed. So I want to move from hurt. I want to move from anger. I want to move to where I am healed. And people can see that the suffering that I suffered is associated with the sufferings of Christ. And through him, I can be healed. Isaiah goes on to state our characteristics. He says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And yet the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. And yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shearers is dumb. And so he opened not his mouth. The Bible tells us in another place in the book of Hebrews that the Messiah, having gone through all that we just read, counted it joy to go to the cross to deliver you. Not just from your sin, but from your loss, from your grief, from your trials and your tribulations. And so my challenge to you is to seek the compassion that God offers through Jesus Christ. The very fact that Jesus walked where we need to walk, you know what? That gives me comfort and courage. He's not asking you to do anything that he has not already done. Amen? He experienced grief as we do. And there will be times we need to allow ourselves this process, because it is this process of grieving that literally cleanses our soul and moves us as it washes us to that next stage. We share in his suffering, and through that we bond with our Savior. You know, the people that are closest to the Lord Jesus, I often find, are the people who have gone through the most trials and tribulations of life. Think about some of the great men and women of God. They suffered great loss, but they did not allow it to destroy their character. Their character became Christ-like. I wish I had time to go through so many of them. Like Jonathan Livingston and so many others. Pick up a biography of Jonathan Livingston. You will be amazed of all the loss he suffered. He buried his wife in burnt new soil and all of his children. And yet he never turned his back on serving the Father. And there are so many God-fearing men and women who we can sense by their lives that their loss drew them to a place in their relationship to God that very few experience. We have this truth affirmed in the New Testament that He knows what you're going through. Go back to Hebrews and verse 15 of chapter 4. For we have not a high priest. And the writer is using kind of the negative approach, saying, no, our high priest isn't one who doesn't care. Our high priest is one who does care. In fact, the word be touched with the feeling, you see that in the passage, it's actually only one word in Koine Greek. It is the word sympathio. Sympathio. What's that sound like to you? Sympathy. Right. That's where the English word sympathy is derived from. It means to feel for, to have compassion for. Our high priest has compassion because he has suffered in all points, the writer of Hebrew tells us, that you and I do. It was Dr. Gary Collins, who is a noted psychologist, who said, and I quote, grief is an important, normal response to the loss of any significant commodity, relationship, or person. It is an experience of deficiency and anxiety, and it can show itself physically, emotionally, cognitively, socially, and even spiritually, unquote. But that said a lot of this in a nutshell, didn't it? And if a noted psychologist knows this, God is the one who gave him that knowledge. And it can be derived from Scripture. I believe the process of grieving, as Scripture teaches, helps us to heal and deepens our character if we allow it. Please don't get stuck in the hurt and the hate, because that won't make you a better person. That'll make you a worse person. That will destroy your health. That will destroy your spirit. That is not what God wants. Be wary of buying the lies the world wants to sell you. You've heard this one. Time heals all wounds. Folks, what does our Father tell us? Surely He had borne our grief and carried our sorrows. The Lord Jesus has already done all that you need. You need to avail yourself to His healing. Be acquainted with Christ. That's the point. Seek the compassion of the Logos, the Word, the Christ. Refuse to believe or live in the lie that time is going to heal you, because saying that takes it away from the true person who only can heal. Who is that? Jesus Christ. Now, I understand that when people say, you know, time heals, I think what they're saying is that as time moves on, the pain softens and the blow weakens. But always the scar is there. Interesting, Jesus suffered on the cross, and when He appeared, even in His glorified body, What did the disciples see? They saw the imprints of the nails in his hands, his feet, and the lance that went through his side. Sometimes it's those scars that we have gone through that make us the person that God wants us to be. But He can't do that if you don't lean on Him. Lean on Jesus. It's like the song. Lean on Jesus. Lean on Jesus. Seek recovery in God's Word. Now, we already touched on that a little bit, but I want to go back to verse 12 again. And I want you to look where it says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful." You know, the psalmist said this. It was David. "My soul melted for heaviness." What's he saying? My soul is sorrowful. And did he say to God, to Jehovah, "Let time heal me"? No. He said, "Strengthen thou me according to thy" what? "Word." There is healing in the Word of God. I know people who have told me, and who said, "Pastor Tony, if it wasn't for the Word of God, I probably would have went crazy." I think of what Brother Mike Patterson went through when he had his open heart surgery. And now, as he's going through his back trouble, he knows he needs to plant himself in the Word of God. Because it is through the Word of God that God will minister to the soul. David is saying in that passage, my soul is heavy with sadness. However, I know I can be a strengthened person through the Word. Psalm 119. Matter of fact, you ought to just read that. Psalm 119 is all about what the Word of God does physically, emotionally, spiritually. David said in Psalm 119 and verse 50, "This is my comfort in my affliction." What is he talking about? This is my comfort in my affliction. He said, the Word of God, because it has quickened me. It has refreshed me. It has made me alive again. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 3:8 that the fear of God, which comes from the knowledge and the wisdom of God, he said, it shall be health to my navel. The word there for navel conveys the idea of nourishment to the body. It is where a child in the womb receives its nourishment. And he says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. The Hebrew word for marrow there is the word nourishment and refreshment. It will refresh you. Knowing the Lord's mercy, you can go forward into the future, free of despair. But be it known, recovery comes in steps, and those steps must be taken by faith. First, you have to do some assessment of your loss and allow yourself the time to accept the loss and to trust God through it all. Don't put excessive expectations on yourself. I see that with so many people. They begin to beat themselves up. They go through this menagerie, this vicious cycle in their mind, and all it does is torment their soul. God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to admit before Him the grief and verbalize to Him your loss. Give yourself permission to cry. For most of our ladies, they know that's lethargic, or cathartic rather. But for men, crying has been taught to us as a sign of weakness. But I'm here to tell you, if you go to John chapter 11 and you read verse 35 to 38, when Lazarus died, the Bible says that Jesus Himself wept. He cried. Not only did He cry, in verse 38 it says He groaned in His spirit. He was touched by that loss. And tears are essential because crying is one of the healthiest reactions to our loss and grief. Tears, ladies and gentlemen, are God's way, or maybe we could say God is the creator of nature, nature's way of washing away the pain. You know, studies have been done about tears, and they have shown that tears that are shed in sadness, they have a different chemical makeup to them than the tears that you cry in joy. I found that to be kind of strange, because I thought whatever comes out of your eyes in liquid is the same. But studies have shown they're not. The chemical makeup is different. And that's because God has designed the tears to be cathartic, therapeutic. It is possible that this substance actually can have a calming effect on the body. Crying is a release, and it will help you on the way to recovery. Be wary of saying, well, I'm a big man, I don't need to shed any tears. Job was a big man, wasn't he? He was a great man. Job 16, verse 16 said, Job cried. He said, my face is foul with weeping. And again, those tears were therapeutic and cathartic. You know, ignoring grief and denying it is not going to make it go away. It will remain intact until you decide to look at it, to sort it out, and allow the Holy Spirit to guide you through it. You can't do it yourself. And that's what it's talking about. When the Bible says that the Word of God, it's discerning. It will guide you. It will help you. Listen, I'm almost done. Trials don't indicate a reduction of God's love for you. Some people get stuck there. You understand what I'm saying? I lost my job, and that's a loss. Especially if you worked in a place for years and you really sacrificed the time and energy in the place where you work, and then some new boss comes along and kicks you to the curb. You're hurt. But that doesn't mean God loves you any less. But I've heard some people say, I guess God doesn't care anymore. I lost my job. Do you ever think that maybe God wants you out of there so He can give you a better job? Trials do not indicate a reduction in God's love for you. He loves you. He loves you with an undying love. And He promises to make a way for you. Quickly, I'm almost done. Go to 1 Corinthians. I know you know this, but it's good to review. 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Most of you have it memorized. Paul says, there hath no temptation, and the word temptation there is synonymous with trials and tribulations, not just the temptation or the solicitation to sin. There hath no temptation or trial taken you, but such is common to man. And right off the bat, that kind of comforts me. Because what I'm going through, guess what? It's been going on since the beginning of time. I'm not the first one to go through this. And I won't be the last. And so there are a lot of people out there that can even help you because they've been through it. And by the way, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says if you've been through it, God allows you to get through it so you can help others who are going through it. Amen? But I want you to focus on this because it says that God is, what's that next word? Faithful. He is faithful. So when you begin to have that pity party, oh, God doesn't care. God's just giving up on me. He's just not smiling down on me. What you're saying is, God, you're not faithful to your word. God is always faithful to His word. He can't change. He's immutable. He is faithful. And it says He will not suffer. The word there, suffer, is allow you to be tried above what you are able. And you might say, well, it's pretty close. Well, you know, I learned a little bit years ago about those who prepare for a boxing match. And do you know that their trainers, they got to take them to the very edge, don't they? They got to get every ounce of strength out of them to prepare them for the fight. And that's sometimes what God is doing in our lives. He's preparing us. But He will ultimately make the way, the Bible says, to what? Escape. And the word there is actually a nautical term. That nautical term that's used in the Greek is the concept of getting a ship from point A to point B. Maybe I could say it better by getting you from the storms on the sea to the port of entry. He will make the way to get there. It's going to take your faith to believe it. That you may be able to, what's the next two words there? Bear it. I'm almost done. You know, God has blessed some with the gift of compassion. And so my last point is, seek the Lord's comforter. Do not seek Job's comforters. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Galatians 6:2 tells us, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. When people are hurting, they don't need a lecture. They don't. I know you might think you know what's best for them, but as the devotion said today, the best thing you could do sometimes is just what? Sit there and listen. Just be there. Giving them a lecture about, well, maybe you ought to do this. Maybe you shouldn't do that. Maybe you should do this other thing. Or maybe you shouldn't have done that. That's a lecture. That's being Job's comforters. Offer compassion. That's what Jesus offers. Offer your prayers. Offer your support. Research has shown that people who do not deal with their negative emotions in a healthy way, they ultimately have more physiological and psychological problems. Now, I've said that to the end of this to encourage you to get busy and let the Lord Jesus take you through stage A, B, and ultimately to C. You know, if Charles Krauthammer could be admired by his friends, and I'm not here to say he was a born-again Christian. I know he was a Jewish man. I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at how people admired this man and how that he's gone. It's a great loss. Because here is a man who lost his limbs, lost the ability to walk. He couldn't even type. And yet he became a great columnist, because he did not allow loss to destroy the dream that God had given him for life. I'm going to close, and then we're going to bow our heads and ask God to help us. I don't know if you're suffering a loss that you haven't dealt with. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you haven't. But I know that God gave me this message to give to this congregation. So release everything unto the Lord, including those so-called regrets about your loss. Learn to grow from the loss. Learn that God can make your character better and you can draw closer to Him. Loss has lessons for us to learn. You can be more resilient. You can be closer to your Father and allow God's abiding love to encourage you. And the Lord Jesus Christ is right there, ready to aid you and assist you Ask Jesus to love you through it. And you get your eyes off your problem and start getting your eyes on others. That's the greatest way to deliver yourself from grief. Now, if you're here and you're thinking, that's just impossible. It's not impossible if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. It's not. But if you don't know Him as your personal Savior, if you don't know that God loves you, that Christ came and died, He died in your place. He died on the cross. He suffered for you. So, He died for everybody. Yes, He did. But you need to take that personally. And you need to accept it by faith that God so loved you. Christ, His Son, His only begotten Son, died for you in your place, taking all your sin, past, present, and even future, and bore the pain of the punishment of that sin on the cross. And then they buried Him, our Savior, but He did not stay dead because He proved beyond a doubt He was God in the flesh. And by rising from the dead, He justified us and reconciled us all before a holy heavenly Father. Therefore, assuring you that when you die, absent from the body, you will be present with the Lord. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I've done what You've asked me to do. Now I ask the Holy Spirit to do what I cannot. Please be very near and dear to the people in this church who suffered loss. And maybe their loss is coming and they know it. God, minister to their heart. Draw them in this time closer to You. And I know You will develop in them a character that we will love and admire. Bless them. And save that soul, Lord, that might be among us who does not know for sure if they die to go to heaven. May they, in simple faith in You, cry out, "Oh God, save me a sinner. I believe You love me. I believe Christ died for me. I believe You rose again to justify me. And I'm asking for my eternal home in heaven." Bless that soul, we pray. For Christ's sake, amen. Let's take our songbook.